Ed and I are back. New year and a new president. Less than 12 hours ago, Joe Biden, at time of recording, was sworn in as the 46th president of the United States, with inauguration events still ongoing, bringing in a new and hopefully brighter era in American politics. Ed Blakely is a former Washington insider now living in Sydney, Australia. My name is Sean Britton from the radio station 2SER. As we are back this year, you can find US of Ed. You can find the podcast wherever you find good podcasts, such as Apple, Wooshka, Spotify, and the like. And you can check us out on Facebook and Twitter as well at US of Ed. Ed, Joe Biden sworn in as 46th president only a matter of hours ago. Now, what have you made of Inauguration Day so far? How are you feeling?
Well, I'm feeling good about it, and I'm almost glad there weren't a lot of people there, both because of the insurrection and COVID, but also it was a somber moment. And Joe did it well. He was almost Lincoln in his remarks, talking about healing, not talking about tax cuts or new automobiles or bridges, but talking to the soul of America, and he did a great job.
Kamala Harris, of course, we can't forget, sworn in as well as first woman vice president, the first of Black and Asian descent as well. History-making event.
It certainly was, and it felt it. My wife woke me up in the middle of the night and forced me to watch it. The last time she did it, it was when Prince was in Charles and Diane got married. So, yeah, this is a big moment for all of us.
And just getting right into the nitty-gritty right off the bat, there was talk of a potential slew of executive orders, and Biden already seems to be delivering. Within hours of inauguration, he has signed some 15 orders, including a 100-day federal mask mandate. He's repealed Donald Trump's Muslim ban and reinsured support for the Dreamers program, and also rejoined the Paris Agreement. I mean, these are things he could have spread out, milked for some good press. What do you make of this right off the bat approach and how things might continue in this vein?
Well, he wanted to do these things right away, because he didn't want, if he's going to have a debate, have one. Not one on immigration, not another one on climate change, not another one on another issues related to a gas pipe or something like that. Get it done at once so he can tackle the big issues. These things would be distractions. And he knows he has a big distraction coming, and that's the impeachment. So, I agree with that entirely. Get it over right away. And he doesn't know he'll have the Senate or the House. He's learned that from Obama. Remember, Obama lost both at the end of his first 2 years and never got them back.
I'll touch on those, both of those issues in just a few minutes more. But look, the one big one on the plate, of course, is COVID-19. Just quickly, we've seen deaths overtake 400,000 in the United States. And for me, it really seemed to make that leap from 300 to 400,000 terrifyingly quickly. There's a lot to unpack here, but this is one hell of a crisis. One hell of a crisis for a new president, no matter how experienced, to be stepping into.
Yes, it is. But did you hear what he's going to do? It's so simple. So straightforward. 100 days mask. We're going to have 100 million people vaccinated. How are we going to do that? We're going to deploy FEMA, the people who put up tents after their storms and disasters. They know how to put tents up. There are also a lot of FEMA people who are doctors and nurses who are retired or otherwise volunteers. We're going to go to every armory in the country, basketball stadium, every clinic, and do people in order, health workers, teachers, people over 65. If I hit over there, I can get my shot. So it's just so simple. The problem is the people who were doing it before has screwed it up so much to get it back on the right track is going to be very hard. He's got to do that in the next month.
And one of the best stories that happened over the break we've just taken, kind of talking the good before we get on to the bad and the ugly. One of the best stories, Democratic success in Georgia. Stacey Abrams and Georgia delivered Joe Biden a real mandate with a Senate majority following those Senate races. I know it's been a couple of weeks, a lot has happened, but they've now been sworn in, Ed. What was your reaction to that one?
Well, my reaction is different than it was when it happened. I was delighted. It meant things could go forward faster and the like. But since the insurrection, the choice of those two men makes so much sense for America. A Jew and a Black in the South. Two men promising to deal with COVID and the economic needs of the little guy. Two men who have energy and guts, and they're not ripping off the stock market for their own personal gain. And two men who brought Georgia together. Amazing. Those are the kind of people we need now. And what it's showing already is Republicans in the House are working with them. So they're on the same agenda. This is only going to happen if the Republicans in the House, not four or five of them, but a large majority of them say, this business of kicking Americans around for own political gains has got to stop. And I think these cool guys come in with that kind of energy and direction.
Well, we're going to be talking a great deal more about some of those big issues you mentioned, a great deal more policy in the coming weeks. One thing I've been saying in the lead up to the end of last year was my great temptation was once Biden was inaugurated to never mention Trump's name ever again. We're going to see how we do into 2021, but we do have to talk about, as you mentioned there, the Trump insurrection, where on the 6th of January, in order to interrupt the official vote on Biden's presidency, Trump supporters stormed the Capitol building, some allegedly looking for politicians to capture, to hold for ransom, or even kill. Others just looking like it was a big joke. This was something to support their sports team or something like that. All a bit of fun. They didn't expect to face any consequences for. Ed, what was your reaction to this one?
I was horrified. Trampling on the citadel of democracy. Acting like it's a joke, but menacing people. Five people died, one guard, and one guard heroically saved a bunch of senators. If they had met his quick thinking, we might have had Pence and some senators killed in this insurrection. Trump is lucky he's not being taken out and being shot. This was horrific.
Republicans who were going to oppose the vote for Biden, Ted Cruz and the like, some still went ahead once the situation had settled. They went ahead on opposing the vote. Some chickened out as it came up. All of this was theatre, unlike those voters who might have stormed the Capitol thinking that they were doing the right thing. These politicians knew very well Biden had been legitimately elected and chose this path anyway. What do you make of it, Ed?
Well, I make of political opportunism like I had never seen before. These are people who didn't think of this. Trump thought a basic idea. They saw their political angle and they went for it. Just like, you know, an eagle for a cat. They had been vicious and ugly, thinking that they could steal the Trump supporters. And I think it may even backfire on them because it was so transparent. and so lacking in honesty. Neither one of them really cited the fact that the elections were fixed or rigged. They said there were some irregularities, like the dates people voted or their signatures and things like this. And they were going to tear up the entire electoral system for this. They knew this was just an attempt to grab Trump supporters. And the Trump supporters know it too.
One of the reasons this is still a concerning one going forward, and so far this is only on the level of allegations and hearsay, but there is some fear the insurrection was partially an inside job involving some politicians that are sitting in that chamber. There'll be more to come on this if true, but regardless, fears are that at least some Republican elected officials see political violence as a legitimate way now of securing their hold on power. I mean, Trumpism, fascism, it has a foothold in the United States, with some comparing the insurrection to the beer hall putsch, Adolf Hitler's first attempt at securing the leadership of Germany.
Yeah, I agree with it. Everything you said. I think that these guys aren't thinking about destroying the nation. They're thinking of their own political careers, and they don't think Trump will be the next president. They're riding on Trump's back, and it's not a back to ride on. They have lost the way, and look how quickly it's proving to be. Howley is now persona non grata in his own state. Cruz is not cruising in Texas. Even his own Senate partner has said nasty things about him. He can't get a voice anyplace in Texas. He's spending most of his time now in Florida. Cruz and Howley may be dead in the political ditch.
Of course, one consequence we've seen is the second impeachment of Trump, making him the first president in U.S. history to be impeached twice. He's now out of the White House regardless, but what's the significance of this one going forward?
Well, the second impeachment was an action that was taken quickly, maybe even too hastily, to give Trump a lesson that would stick. And I must think that they felt that if we don't catch this guy and dispatch him right away, public tempers will cool and his immorality and disasters of this insurrection, he would escape clean. And the only vehicle they had was to impeach him. Now, this is a perfect impeachable offense. The earlier one, a telephone call, this and that, maybe, maybe not. But this one had to be done. And if Nancy knew this was going to occur, she never would have done the first one. But had it happened, she had to do it.
Trump, into the final hours, had to be talked out of pardoning himself or his family, according to reports. Apart from impeachment, how else might we see Trump punished or prosecuted in coming months?
Well, there is still something that hangs over his head. In the 14th Amendment to the Constitution, there's a clause that says any person can be barred from public office for committing insurrection. Now, this kept a lot of Southerners out of the Congress and other public offices that were national. As a matter of fact, up until the 20th century, places like South Carolina had Black representatives to the U.S. Congress. I didn't even know that. But Southerners who had participated as officers and the like were barred from public office. So that clause can be used. Now, the best way to use it is to impeach him and have that as the punishment. So people are saying, well, he's already gone. The question is, we want to keep him gone. How do we do that?
We did see a slew of other pardons, though, in the closing days and even closing hours of the Trump presidency, including one for former advisor Steve Bannon, prosecuted or being prosecuted for fleecing Trump supporters who thought they were paying to build Trump's wall. Notably absent were any pardons for the Capitol coup crowd who marched on the Capitol on behalf of Trump, many of whom are now facing federal charges. These people really thought they were acting on behalf of the president. And if they can get it through their heads, I would think that they are feeling pretty betrayed about now. But either way, they've sort of been condemned and abandoned for Trump's convenience.
Yeah, this is interesting. If he pardons one of them, that's admitting his own guilt, isn't it? Oh. So he stayed away from that. And he knows their sentences will not be that bad, except for those who might be involved in injuring someone and the person who killed that poor police officer. They'll do 2-3 years in jail at the most, in the kind of jails that where people aren't held in detention, et cetera. The United States is not the Soviet Union. So whether they learned their lessons at that time or not. But there's some people there in the jails who can teach them a lesson or two. Most of them are black. So I wouldn't, if I were them, want to be going to any of those jails. The second thing is that Trump pardoned people that he thought he could get something from, who could give him money or he'd buy silence from. So he can get from Bannon TV and other kinds of communication capacity. And he's going to need that. He can get from all those other people like Flynn freedom from worrying about prosecution for those early days that Mueller proved. But there's something else here that people forget. He could have written 10 or 15 other pardons and signed them with today's date, and they're valid anytime he pulls them out of his pocket. So I'll bet, I'm willing to wager, he has a pardon for Trump Jr. And if Trump Jr. goes to trial and is convicted, that pardon will be made visible. But when it is, that means Trump will not be able to run for public office. Mm. It is too mafia-like.
Mm. Well, coming back around to Biden, as we sort of mentioned before in the inauguration speech, he mentioned wanting to try and bridge that gap between his supporters and the supporters of Republicans or the supporters of Donald Trump, while I think acknowledging not everybody is going to ever be on board with the Biden presidency, given what they've been fed by their political leaders. We saw Obama try to bridge this gap as well when he first came into office, and we saw him fail, and we saw him waste a great deal of energy in doing so. Does Biden have any hope of this bridging the gap, and should he even try?
That's the subject of another show. And Obama didn't fail. Remember, he was elected again because people believed in him and he kept the country together. If he had two failures. One, he was too soft on foreign policy. He didn't stand up to China. He let Syria get out of hand and the like. He appeared to be soft. On the domestic side, he could not get his policies through Congress. Biden has a much better chance. The country's in crisis. And like FDR, you can make a lot of rules that you couldn't make before. Republicans who stand in the way of COVID relief are going to be in trouble when they come up for election. And Biden knows it. so they can wring their hands about the deficit, having created most of it. They can cry about the policy not being enough or not being for the right people, but they dare not kill it, because if they do, they kill their chances. As to the differences in the country, this is something that's been coming for a long time. As the United States has become less white, and as Blacks, Latinos, and others, through government action, have gained quality educations, me included, it means that being white is not enough. And for many white males in particular, this has been a real shot to the gut. Because if they go for an interview and there's a woman, a white woman, a Black woman, or an Arab woman, they leave the interview because they know their qualifications have to be more than equal. So that's what this is really about in its gut. When there are a lot of jobs there and Blacks were excluded, Mexicans were excluded, and women were excluded, they could feel good about themselves, but they can't anymore. How do you bridge that gap?
Well, we have talked in the past about the death of the American dream for some of those demographics, and I think in the near future we're going to have to look at that again in some respects, and we're going to have to look again at some you mentioned there, such as Biden's approach to China and Biden's approach to Russia and the like in the Middle East. But look, we got a pretty exciting road ahead of us, I would have to say.
Hey, we might have a cheerful year. That would be absolutely marvelous. I like spirited debate, and we're going to have a lot of that. But it should be around great direction, and the opportunities there with Biden in to have that happen.
Absolutely, mate. Well, we will talk again next week. We'll be back on these ones next week.
Thank goodness. I'm looking forward to it for a change.
Me too, mate. Me too. Ed and I will be back next week to talk the latest in American news and politics. Subscribe wherever you find the podcast. Maybe drop us a review if you're feeling generous for 2021. And find us on Facebook and Twitter for more at US of Ed.